Oh, hey there, Ghostbuster fans. Welcome to Why We Bust, a weekly show where we look at the Ghostbuster cosplay community across the world and we ask individuals the burning question that's on everybody's mind. Why do you do what you do? This show is powered by Memoriam Development, the Windy City Ghostbusters, and viewers like you. So turn that pack off, shut your trap, and take the night off and enjoy Why We Bust.
Yeah. We're live.
Can we try that again? Are we live?
We are live.
Woohoo.
Oh, hey there, everyone. Welcome to Why We Bust, the show that takes you to the Ghostbuster and finds out what makes them tick. My name is Bob, and I am your temporary host, as Patrick is out with maternal leave right now, as he is expecting his next child any day now. So happy delivery, Patrick. Safe baby, healthy baby, all that good stuff. We're excited for you, and we're excited to have you come back when you're ready. Until then, you are stuck with my pretty face and my beautiful voice. Alongside of me, as always, is the central nervous system of the Why We Bust podcast, the Oracle to my Batman, I don't know. You get the idea. Thanks. Hi, Norm. It's Norm, everybody.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Norm. How are you? Hey, Vix. How are you? Nice to see you in chat. What's up, Norm?
I'm great. Thanks.
That's good. What's been going on?
Oh, not a whole lot that's interesting, other than dealing with the Facebook taking down our page. So we have a temporary page up. If you're at all interested, just search for Windy City Ghostbusters, or excuse me, Windy City GB. Trying that for now to see if that'll help with the Facebook algorithms kneecapping me.
Yeah, it's been annoying. So Meta, fix our page, because this isn't funny. It's misery.
No, it's annoying.
Twice now?
This is third time. All right. And joining us this week is a Ghostbuster hailing from our home team, Windy City Ghostbusters. We have Joshua B. Moorcraft. Hello, Joshua. Nice to have you on Why We Bust.
Hello, Bob. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Of course. So how we start the show, I'm going to take you way back here, okay? The very beginning of the days. What was your first experience with Ghostbusters?
That would be in the 80s. When I was growing up, I watched the original Ghostbusters on cable television. With my dad, he introduced me to Ghostbusters when I was a little kid, and I just got hooked from there and just kept watching all the movies as they came out when I got older. And then I found out there when I moved here to Chicago, when I was older, that you can become a Ghostbuster. And so I checked it out and decided to join you guys at the St. Patrick's Parade last year.
Excellent. So you're still,
fairly new.
Mm-hmm. Fairly new, yeah, 100%, man. So what was it like growing up with Ghostbusters? Like, what attracted you to the franchise?
It seemed fun. They were, they were the good guys. They were beating the evil, saving people. And the songs were really catchy, too. So
What other fandoms were you into as a kid?
Like Mario Brothers, Batman, a lot of DC stuff, Superman. I watched a lot of cartoons. I really was big into Power Rangers when I was growing up. Started with Mighty Morphin, and then all the other little ones that spin off from that. And then the spin-offs from those, like Big Bad Beetleborgs. That was a fun one to watch. And then Mystic Knights of Tir-na-n-Og. That was another one that came around during Mighty Morphin days. But anything like superhero, magic, mysticism, things like that, I was really drawn to.
Well, then Ghostbusters was a perfect fit for you. It's kind of anybody's introduction to both comedy, horror, and the occult. Anything in that kind of realm. So I would say it fit right in. Were you watching the real Ghostbusters cartoon while it was airing?
Yep. I caught mostly reruns, but I didn't see them live, no. But I did catch reruns of the show, yeah.
What about Extreme Ghostbusters in the 90s?
Did not get a chance to see that one, no.
Okay. Man, you're missing out. It's like the best form of Ghostbusters media.
I'll have to see if I can find it online somewhere.
That's the one with the gorilla, right?
Oh, I'm going to kill you. That is, first off, you are clashing the finest of things. Extreme Ghostbusters is the finest form of Ghostbusters media. And then you're talking about my boy Tracy the Gorilla over there as if he sees his joke. I'll have you know that is a ghost-busting gorilla. Thank you very much.
Ghost-busting gorilla. Nice.
But let me bring you forward with at least you and the fandom. So, mm-hmm. What was it like seeing things like Afterlife being announced for
2020? Oh, just total nostalgia trip. Like being like little kid again. That had a lot of references to the OG movies that I watched as a kid. So it was very fun and very welcoming and exciting just to watch all the little tidbits in the movie that reminded me of the original movies.
What is your favorite Ghostbusters film out of the whole batch?
Oh gosh. I believe isn't two with Viggo, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Viggo, the one with Viggo was one of my, it has to be my favorite.
It is the finest one, yes.
Yeah, I mean, sentient slime and bringing to life the Statue of Liberty with a positive song and just cheering everybody in the streets and beating the evil villain with positive energy is just it's a really good movie.
I'm excited to hear that. That's wonderful stuff. Because Ghostbusters 2 is my favorite as well. So good answers. We appreciate
that. That is the correct answer.
That is the correct answer, as we always say.
You know who you're talking to. This is Viggo.
Viggo, you're the buzzing of the flies to it. It's just the better movie. That's a sore subject for a lot of Ghostbusters.
It's a good movie. It really is. I mean, watching, dealing with Gozer and all that stuff was in Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Yeah, that was a good one too. But I think of all of them, I would definitely be fighting Viggo was just too good to pass up.
What is something? How do I say this? What as an adult keeps you liking the Ghostbusters fandom? As a kid, you're kind of drawn to the concepts of these good guys, bad guys, but now you're an adult and you understand story method a little bit different now. So what keeps you as a Ghostbusters fan in 2025?
I think I'm still drawn to Ghostbusters, one for nostalgia's sake, because it reminds me of a simpler time, a more positive time in my life when I was a kid, growing up, seeing these good guys on screen. And now as an adult, I can be one of those people that I saw on the screen as a kid. Like I can be that person for some other kid. And so I've always wanted to be a Ghostbuster when I was a kid. And I was like, oh, one day I want to be a Ghostbuster. When you're like 5, 6, 7 years old, like, oh my gosh, I want to be a Ghostbuster and fight Slimer and catch ghosts and have a proton pack and a ghost trap. So as an adult, I basically I'm a big kid with adult money.
Sure.
I can live out my childhood dream now that I'm an adult.
Now there is an aspect of you being a Ghostbuster that I find really interesting is you created your own persona.
Yep.
As a Ghostbuster, and I know it relates to photography, which show off your patch.
There you go. The Windy City Spectral Photog.
So we're going to get into the idea of, let's start with the photography in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to like really dig deep here. So photography means a whole lot to you.
Yes.
Is my assumption. So let's start with the photography aspect of your life. Where do you start taking pictures?
Actually started during COVID. One of my So I'm a disabled vet, and so I was having issues during COVID being, you know, confined to a house, my mind racing, nothing to do.
Sure.
And my therapist is like, hey, you need a hobby that you can do on your own in a safe way that will occupy your mind so that you don't start, oh, look at James's kitty, so cute. So that your brain won't start, you know, spinning and freaking out. She's like, you know, try an art, some sort of art. So I've always been a creative person, like art, singing, theater. And so I've always liked to do things that are creative and artistic. So I was like, hey, let me try photography. Because as a kid, my grandfather, you know, OGs, he was a film photographer with one of those heavy metal Canon film cameras. He had, you know, piles and piles of film and photos and equipment. And so he's like, hey, here, try, you know, play with this, play with this. And then I was like, hey, let me try photography. It seems simple enough. So, you know, went on Amazon, bought a simple camera kit, you know, and started taking pictures. And I started teaching myself how to do lighting and, you know, depth and perception, all just by watching YouTube University, basically. And then I just kept practicing and over and over. I went outside, take pictures of animals, buildings, people, flowers, a lot of flowers and buildings. And I started getting into people as the years went by. And then I moved here to Chicago from North Carolina in 2021. So I had a lot more things to photograph, moved here. So I started doing architecture because, I mean, Chicago buildings and architecture are just, you know, gorgeous. I mean, you got that rustic feel of big city with the rusty train tracks and the big tall buildings, you know. I mean, it's very New York-esque in a way. So it kind of, when I first went downtown Chicago, I was like, ooh, I'm in a big city like the movies I saw as a kid. And it just, you're all struck by all the tall buildings and the architecture. So I started taking photos. I when I go downtown anytime, I take my camera with me, and if I'm inspired, I pop it out like, ooh, this looks really cool. Let me take a photo. You know, so I have this thing where I can see the image in my head before I even take the picture. And I just create this whole story in my brain. And then I just make that story that I take the come to life in my photos.
That's amazing. It's a good story. And so you, how does one transition from taking pictures of flowers to taking pictures of cosplayers? Because that's a
big leap. Yeah.
That's a big leap.
So 2022, a person told me, hey, you should check out this, you know, this Comic-Con type deal here in Chicago. So C2E2 in 2022, I attended my very first con, and I bought this, you know, cheap costume, something easy offline on Amazon. It's like, hey, let me put something on. Brought my camera down and just started, you know, went there and was walking around seeing all these people dressed up in cosplay and costumes. Like, oh, that looks really, really cool. Hey, do you mind if I take a picture of you real quick? I mean, to me, cosplay photography is just an extension of portrait work. Because, I mean, your portraits, with portraits, you're trying to capture the person's essence, their personality. So with cosplay, it's no different. You're trying to tell that person's story, and you're trying to capture the image that they're trying to portray as that person. I mean, some of these cosplayers that I've met over the years, I mean, months and months and years on a costume, and they save it for these big shows to show off all their work because they want to show off how much work they put into it, and because they like the fandom that they spend all that time on. And so I just started asking people at that first C2E2, like, hey, do you mind if I take a picture? Do you mind if I take a picture? And the way I did it, my skill set improved as I just kept doing it. So I just kept taking photo after photo, going to show after show. And then in 2023, I applied to C2E2 to be to go there in Cosplay Central to have a little table. And then they reached out to me. It's like, hey, we'll give you this 20x30 booth in Cosplay Central if you agree to do stuff for us, like be a sponsor or a partner, like, hey, take photos of this many people, let us use the photos kind of thing, or, you know, give something away for free. So I started giving away 2 free shots in the booth. I was teaching people how to pose. so that they're able to show off their costumes better. And it just progressed from there. I just kept going to shows, applying to be a partner, applying for a press pass. And that's all you do. You never know till you try. And I just kept going.
So from self-taught in 2020 to being an actual sponsored photographer at C2E2 in just a span of two, three years is incredible. You should be very proud of yourself in that regard.
Yeah. When they accepted my proposal, I was in complete and total shock. Complete and total shock. I'm like, really? Is it, you like my stuff? I'm like, yeah, you're great. Oh, okay. but from 2020 to that 2023, during that time frame, I tried to legitimize my business and myself as much as I could to be more appealing to people professionally, because I was like, hey, this is fun. I want to keep doing this. I want to get better jobs. I want to get better opportunities. So what I did, I joined the LGBT Chamber of Commerce in North Carolina before I moved, and I got my as a veteran-owned business. So I got that. And then I got recognized as a nationally owned veteran business, and then I got nationally recognized as an LGBT owned business. And those, at the time, those minority markers on my business pages or in my profile were open doors for me that normally wouldn't have been. So, even before C2E2, I was given the chance, was it 2020? Yeah, 2023. Right after C2E2, I was a chance to shoot the NASCAR race that came to town too.
Well, that was amazing. That's a pretty cool jump too. What was it like shooting that?
I did it loud. Also, it was because my dad growing up was a master mechanic, so I was around cars constantly as a kid growing up in the South, and he was such a renowned mechanic, and he also taught mechanic at a community college, and so he made connections with the state and local people. So he became friends with, you know, NASCAR drivers, speedster races, cars, trucks, monster trucks. And so he's like, he would just reach out to people just to try to make connections, and that's where I got that from. I mean, all these shows and opportunities, they didn't find me. I found the page and like, hey, let me try, couldn't hurt. So I filled the applications out and I was like, here's my link, here's my work. And then you wait and then you get the emails like, oh, sorry. Or yes, we'd like to, so I just try. I just like, it doesn't hurt to try and put yourself out there. And I just like, hey, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And a few times it's worked.
Sure.
Yeah. NASCAR was a lot of fun. I was literally, here's the cage, here's the track. I was right at the cage with my camera, headphones on, reflective gear. My camera pushed up against the fence and snapping these cars as they go by. It was a lot of fun.
Now back to cosplay photography for a few moments here. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite fandom to shoot? And you can't say Ghostbusters.
Actually, I don't see as many as you think. Favorite fandom. Oh, okay. Anything fantasy? Like Star Trek, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, video games. Like, I get a lot of people that, I have a lot of, I'm friends and a honorary member of the 501st. So I always find Star Wars people to take photos of, like bounty hunters, Jedi, Sith. And one year I did a really cool Grievous. This dude was like straight up full on mechanical Grievous with the arms and everything. That was so cool to watch and take pictures of.
What is your dream photo shoot as a cosplay like scene?
My ultimate goal with cosplay photography or dream would be to be a professional cosplayer's official photographer and travel with them to all the different Comic-Cons and just follow them around and take photos of all their like highly professional, highly polished work at the different shows.
Sure.
That's my dream. Yeah.
So set up your favorite scene though. Like for me, my dream has always been the 1-1 Temple of Gozer and having me and my friends staggered up on the stairs, for shots. Yeah. I've been proposing that for 9 years.
The Temple of Gozer.
Forever. Right? I always wanted a 1-1 Temple of Gozer just to kind of, even if it was built out of foam, I don't know. It's just something I've always wanted.
The smoke and the lights and
yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's me though. What is yours?
So I would ultimately like to be in a warehouse type studio where I could make it. I could turn it into a scene like a planet or a forest or a temple, and have all the fancy smoke and everything, and just make you feel like you're there with the character that's part of that world. So like a big fancy Hollywood setup basically would be the ultimate cosplay shoot for me, with professional props and lights and smoke and makeup artists. Like that is, that would be my thing for sure.
What is your most memorable cosplay photo you've ever taken that will stand out to you as like that's your magnum opus, or maybe you haven't taken it yet?
So, a standout photo moment at a convention during for cosplay. I was last year at Indiana Comic Con. It was my first time attending, got a press pass. I got early access to the floor. And so I was just walking around seeing who's going to be the artist, the famous people, whatever. And I happened to see a picture of Uncle Iroh on one of the tables. I'm like, oh my gosh, Iroh. Oh, and I walk up and his helper is setting up his table. And we're just sitting there talking, having a good old time, waiting for the actor to show up. And then, next thing I think behind me in a full-on Iroh voice, we know, hello, my friends. I freeze. I just freeze. And, you know, the guy who voiced Uncle Iroh 2.0, not the original voice, that actor died, but the 2.0 voice, Greg, can't think of his name, but anyway. He comes up behind us and, you know, puts his hand on my shoulder. Hello, my friend. And I, my soul left my body. And we struck up a conversation for like half an hour while he was setting up. And I was like, hey, by the way, I'm a photographer. If you need anything while you're here, you know, just, I didn't think he'd say yes. You know, he's like, hey, yeah, I kind of need new photos for my new signs for the next few years. I'm like, I couldn't speak. I really couldn't. And then, so we waited till the end of the con, and when everybody was, you know, leaving and everything, we went upstairs to where the glass ceiling is and nice light, and I took shots for him and headshots for his media. So that'd be my standout moment so far.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was. I did not expect that to happen at all.
I'm at a lot of cons. Specifically, I'm at a lot of anime shows. Next time I see him at a show, I'm gonna look at his banner and I'm gonna be like, I know the dude who took these.
Well, I don't know if he's used them yet. I have to wait till I see him again. It's up to he, because he gave them to his he saw them and then he gave them to his agent, so it's up to his agent when they use them. So fingers crossed. Oh, sure. I'll see them one day. So that'd be one of my standout moments. And then C2E2 last year, I got to meet the voices of the X-Men. And oh, wow. I made friends. So my deal is, when I have a floor pass, like early access, I've learned to make friends with the handlers of the stars, the handlers. Yeah. And if you do that and you're nice to the handlers, you can get pretty much almost anything if you look professional. And then towards the end of the show on the Sunday, I was like, hey, you know, do you think they'd want a group photo together? And she's like, yeah, I'll talk to them. So I got to the actors who play Beast, Wolverine, you know, Storm, Gambit, all the OGs. I got to take a big group shot of at C2 last year.
That had to have been really cool.
That was so fun. That was the lady who plays Storm is just the sweetest little old Southern lady, basically. So yeah, just by putting myself out there, I've stumbled into opportunities as a cosplay photographer that I don't think I would have otherwise had I not started doing it.
So, Ghostbusters, how does one become a Ghostbuster in your world? Because you're taking all these pictures of all these things. You're seeing, you know, fandom cosplay groups that I probably don't even know exist.
There's a lot.
There's a lot. But yet, here you are as a Ghostbuster. And so my question is, why did that become a thing for you?
I saw them at I saw you guys at a fan expo one year that I was walking around, and I one of my friends in the 501st, Jacob, who does the Ecto Ranger.
Yeah.
Yep. he's like, hey, you should get a outfit and join me over in Ghostbusters. I'm like, all right, sure. So he introduced me to Ghostbusters. He's like, hey, you should join us. And then he introduced me to Webs, and Webs introduced me to so forth and so on. And then my first time was at that Southside
Irish Parade.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's great. I'm excited that's how it happened. We love Jacob, so he's a good kid.
He's a hoot and a half, that's for sure.
Yes, we keep him around. We like him a lot. So what's been your experiences so far being a Ghostbuster? Are you enjoying the fandom? Are you enjoying the flight suit and doing all of that jazz?
Yeah, so I started out with the khaki flight suit, originally the OG flight suit. And then I started, adding things. I bought an engineer suit, style suit, and I've created an engineer character. That's where the spectrophotog came to life, is through the engineering division. That's like, hey, if I'm with the engineering division, I'll take pictures of all the items we collect or whatever. So I was like, hey, this works with photo and Ghostbusters. And then being a Ghostbuster, part of the Windy City Ghostbusters, I got to experience working with the Children's Hospital at La Rabida. And then I got an opportunity to go visit the Shriners Hospital. So I've had opportunities to help kids be happy and feel better about themselves as a Ghostbusters. And that's been really enjoyable to do as well.
Sure. What's been an experience being a Ghostbuster that you won't forget?
The first time at La Rabida, this little kid comes up to us, very shy at first. And then I was like, hey, can I? And I made stickers to bring with me that day. And a friend of mine who has 3D printer made little Slimer, glow-in-the-dark Slimers for me. So I was like, hey, you want a sticker? You want a Slimer? And then he went from being this, sad, shy, just, so I kneel down so he doesn't feel scared of me. And he just walks up, was like, I hand him a sticker, and he handed him a little Slimer, and he just lights up. So just to see that kid go from being shy and sad to being happy and lit up because you something as simple as they met a Ghostbuster and gave him a sticker and something, a little toy, that was just a lot of fun to do for me because I've never had that chance before.
That's great. What's, what I'm going to put you on the spot here because you're doing photos for both organizations now. What's the group that you're having that you've been like doing photos for that you're finding more like, I don't want to say the word fun because it's probably fun for both, but what's one that you got to experiment more with and that you kind of get to flourish in, or what's something you would like to do with one of the fandoms that you haven't seen done yet?
Well, when it comes to, I'm part of several now. I'm part of,
oh, sure. My apologies.
Yeah. Part of Ghostbusters with Windy City. I recently started officially joining with the 501st Midwest Garrison for Star Wars. I'm in the process of making my outfit for that. And the, Dark Empire, Saber Guild, and the little snippets that, flush off that. I've had a really cool opportunity with that, with the 501st, in the fact that they have little prop setups at their shows.
Yeah.
And so I've been able to, create scenes with characters that I normally wouldn't get to normally. And then I also get to, occasionally famous people will come up that are Star Wars actors that I've had a chance to photograph with them, with the 501st. So that's been fun. My goal with us, the Ghostbusters, is to do like this whole outside setup with the, an Ectomobile, kind of the OG Ectomobile smoke, and all of us walking through the smoke and lights and, and just get like these cool action shots of people either in the Ecto or next to the Ecto. And then later on, I can add in like a Slimer floating around or something too. So I've had more opportunities for neat shots so far with Star Wars fandom because of the different props and whatnot. And I'm hoping to get more opportunities with props and cars and things with the Ghostbusters.
That's great. What's the
What is your favorite prop so far that you found in the Ghostbusters hobby outside of your camera?
Pukey. Jacob's Pukey. It's just so cute. It's so funny.
It's adorable.
It's just this big booger. It's this big booger. Just stands there with his mouth open. That has been one of my favorites so far. And then, of course, you know, the standard dancing toaster has been cool too. And then to see all these different Ectos that I've got to see as being in our parades or our events that people bring, I get to see the details they've put into them.
That's great. I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. What's it like taking pictures of any cosplayer? Like, what does that mean to you when you do these photos? So
I like to help people come out of their shell, because sure, even though these people spend this time in these costumes, they're still really shy about it because they feel like they're being judged. I mean, I still feel that way when I walk in with my Ghostbuster outfits or any cosplay I have. When you're walking in onto a con floor or any cosplay event, you get this internalized, like, is it good enough? Is it good enough? Are people going to like it? Are people going to make fun of me? You know, that kind of thing. So with cosplayers and me having that camera around my neck or my shoulder, I find that people tend to be a little more receptive to talking to me because they see the camera. And also that helps me feel less shy when I have the camera on my neck, almost like a security blanket. I guess a force field or whatever you want to call it, to help me be more open with people. And I like to help people show off their outfit they made, to feel comfortable in it, to look their best. You know, I was like, hey, you know, you're dressed as so-and-so, you know, pose or act like that character would in this particular scene or scenario. And I get them to slowly open up and become the person they're dressed as. And the photos just end up turning out, you know, better than they would have had they just stood there and posed. So I like to be able to help cosplayers tell their story as well as the character that they're dressed as. That's my thing, is telling people's stories.
That's great. What is a fandom costume or cosplay that you feel like does not have enough representation?
Oh gosh, that is a tough one. Not enough. There's so many.
Like, who's the underdog that you want to start seeing being more cosplay as? And it could be either a specific character, or it could be a fandom in general.
I think the OG Aquaman doesn't get enough love. Like, you see, because I mean, oh, Aquaman, he just talks to fish. But you see the more modern Aquaman from the movies and the things like that, Jason Momoa Aquaman. You see a lot of that at cons. But you don't see, you know, Justice League of America Aquaman.
It's funny you say that. My second cosplay ever was Justice League Aquaman. It's funny you say that.
He gets a bad rap. Oh, he rides a seahorse and he talks to fish.
Yeah, until you read like the Grant Morrison run and you find out that he can control water in your brain too. And
yeah, so because, I mean,
that fish man becomes a lot more dangerous.
OG Aquaman doesn't get enough love. He really doesn't.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. Our photographer here thinks there needs to be some more OG Aquaman love. So that is going to be the new popular cosplay of 2025. We're calling it here. It's a trend set now.
Justice League Aquaman. What's that, James?
Windy City Aquaman.
There you go. Windy City Aquaman. That's what we need. We have a Dr. Doom that's really, really good that I've seen walking around at the cons. And they're obviously... there's a really good Thor, so Grant from League of Enchantment. He is a super amazing Thor. Like, oh my gosh! So there's some really good like ones you can pick out of a crowd easily in the Windy City. So hopefully there'll be an Aquaman that we can pick out easily at conventions now.
Just because you said it. Just because you said it. That's what we're looking for.
So come C2E2 this year. I expect to see some OG Aquaman on the floor.
Just because of why we bust. You're going to seek out Joshua. Do you have a booth this year at C2E2?
No, I'll be hanging out with the Star Wars group this year.
Sounds good. So what you're going to do, OG Aquaman, is you're going to go into the 501st booth, and you're going to find Joshua, and you're going to be like, hello.
Here I am.
And then that's going to be the fastest you've ever seen this guy grab his camera and just run and charge. And
we must go to the water fountains now.
Come to this water. Let me splash some. Oh, my goodness.
We must run to the water feature. Post haste.
Post haste. Come to those fountains. You know, those that's fountains right. Only shoot up a tiny stream. That's fine. I'll fix that's it in fine. Post.
I'll fix it in post. We'll make, you know, dolphins jump out of the water or something. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
So one of the more popular questions that I'm supposed to ask on Why We Bust is, do you own a proton pack?
I sadly do not.
Okay. If you did own a proton pack, what would the name be of your proton pack?
Oh, gosh. First thing pops in my head would be Betty.
Betty.
Mm-hmm. Good old reliable Betty.
Okay, well, now when you get your first pack, you'll name it Betty.
There we go.
See, Norm, there you go. Are you happy I got the...
Yes, I'm glad you remembered to do that.
Because I loved watching reruns of Betty Boop cartoons, so it just stuck in my head, Betty.
By the way, thank you so much for the follow, JetGirl747. Yeah, JetGirl747 followed the channel on Twitch. So thank you for the follow. And hello to you, TheaterGirl79 on Twitch as well.
How many do we have watching us tonight?
It is, there's a number. I don't like to share that because...
Okay, gotcha.
You know, that's important. And then somebody says now they have Black Betty stuck in their head.
Oh, yeah, Black Betty Bamaram. No, I haven't.
It's going to be an infection.
It's an earwig. It's there. It's stuck. We're infected with Betty now.
Oh, it's Jessica. Ha. Huh. Now I understand her name. Jessica from Windy City. Does that make sense? Because you get it works with airplanes. I understand.
Ginger,
okay. Yes. That makes sense.
Okay. Ginger. Yes. I love her.
All right. So that's my question was on your proton pack. It would call it Betty. Yeah. So I guess your big piece of gear is your camera. Now, does your camera have a name?
No, I actually never named my camera. I've never named my camera. I never have.
Well, now you got to name it. I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh gosh. Name my camera. It's a workhorse. So, oh gosh, it's definitely a workhorse. Takes a lick and keeps on ticking.
Its name is Cameron McCamrick Face.
Truly, that is the most inspired.
Cameron McCamrick Face. All right. Trying to think of a really strong, like, you know, like a Budweiser type workhorse name. Goodness gracious. I mean, Bubba would be appropriate for a workhorse.
All right, Bubba it is. Your camera is now known as Bubba.
Hey, Big Bubba, there we go.
Folks, I want you to tell you, this is exhilarating conversation right here when I make somebody name their camera on spot. This is the things that you...
Cam E. Lens.
Cam E. Lens. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty darn good.
We're almost giving our equipment drag names now. That's great.
Actually, I think Cam R. Lens might...
Cam R. Lens. Oh, yeah. That's pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a good one.
Good job, Norm. You win the gold star of the day on creativity.
Well, I'm just taking
Here's a good one. Sir Lindsington the First.
My word. Theater Girl said she'll give you that one, Norm. Right.
That's fine. I feel like I didn't really earn it. I just touched it up a little bit.
Ducky approves of Cam R. Lens.
Nice.
So real quick, everybody, this is the part of the show where I do a shameless plug because I can and nobody can tell me any different.
And muted.
And muted. And muted. Folks, right after this show, you guys can bounce on over to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/BobAfterDarkPlays. I'm going to be playing Hunter the Reckoning, which is an old school monster hunting video game from the PS2 era. I'll be playing the GameCube version of it, and you guys are welcome to hop on over to my channel right after this. So that's something you can do.
Sounds good.
Jet Girl, it would not be the first time Bob accidentally turned off the podcast.
Just to turn off the I did that for Steve's episode. I still feel bad about that. Like, because I had to leave early, right? Which is what I have to do on my Mondays because I have a stream right after this. And so whenever I usually get involved with Why We Bust, I have to do it quicker than what Patrick would do because I have another obligation. And the one time I had something where I had to go like immediately. And when I left, I ended the stream. I didn't leave studio. And so Steve's in the middle of talking and I click end stream. And I'm like, why do I still hear Steve talking? Oh. And then that was the fastest I've ever seen. Bob, Norm goes, Bob ends the stream. And he dips out to go make the next call. That is such a hard episode to edit, I want you to know. I still haven't finished it because of that gap.
Got to cut out the cutoff.
Right. You were watching when it happened. That's wonderful. Don't hit the off button. I will not hit the off button, Jet. I promise.
Oh, speaking of shameless plugs, I have these available for anybody.
Oh, yes, please. Shameless plugs all you can for the little bit longer we got left of the show. You're welcome to plug all.
It's fully 100% embroidered. I designed it in Canva. It took me a few hours, and then I had it sent off and made by the Chicago Embroidery Company. They're really good. And yeah, so if you like them, $10.
And where can people find that at?
Just message me on Facebook.
I have a need for that badge. Well, now you have somebody that would like it. So how do people find you, Joshua?
So Facebook, you can just find me under Joshua Bendewald Moore. I can type that in the chat too if you need me to. And I'm set to private, but just add me and I'll add you and we can message each other.
Do you have a Facebook page for your photography that people can look at?
I do. I mostly post on Instagram, but
whatever you have, it doesn't have to be Facebook. Yeah,
Instagram is Moorcroft Photog, so Moor as it's spelled right here on the screen, and this just add Photog after that one word, Moorcroft Photog on Instagram, and there you can see various pieces of my work, and also you can see my Facebook connected from there as well at my website. So you can message me on Instagram or Facebook or wherever, and we'll set it up to get you one. I've already mailed out quite a few.
Patches go quick. Behind my backdrop is my Ghostbusters patch collection, which sits at about 120 something. So I have a lot of Ghostbuster patches. I get how that could be.
Yeah. Yeah. I printed about 50 of them printed and I'm down to like 40 so far.
All right, so we still have a couple minutes left in the stream before I hand it off to Norm to come raid me so I can go start mine.
Start your gaming stream.
Yes, I'm going to go start my next stream. Is there something that we didn't cover tonight that you would like to talk about? Because I know the photography is the big important one. But is there something about Joshua that makes you tick and that I didn't cover that you would like to discuss? What's an interesting fact about you?
Like I said, some people know or some people don't that I'm a disabled military vet. I was in the Navy submarines for a couple of years before I got injured and got discharged.
Well, thank you for your service.
Oh yes, no problem. You're welcome. Oh gosh, interesting fact. I guess some odd, random fact is, I got to sit in the original Gravedigger monster truck when I was a kid.
Look, in the 90s, that would have been the greatest thing. Was this in the 90s? Because I wasn't even into like that realm, and I even know what that is.
Yeah, so my dad, with his mechanic connections, he knew the owner of the truck and the driver, and he got them to come visit the dealership he was working at 1 year, and I got to sit in the driver's seat of a Gravedigger.
That's amazing. That's awesome. So I got to ask a couple more questions for call it here. What is your favorite? What is your favorite pose that you like to have people do for your photography? And I know that depends on the character and stuff, yeah. But like, what is the most iconic pose for a costumer that you could think of?
So I start with the iconic, either villain or hero, the quintessential hero pose, you know, the hand up in the air, or the guns blazing kind of thing. Like you would see at a gamer idol screen, basically the standard hero or villain pose, depending on what they're wearing. That's my go-to to start with. Like, hey, strike that hero or villain pose. And just to start them off to get them comfortable. And then we go into something more, show me angry, go through the emotions that are related to that character. But I start off with the quintessential hero or villain pose.
What if you don't know the character?
I look it up.
That's fair. we'll just call it free roaming for lack of a better
term.
If you're free roaming a con and you're looking to take con photos, you're going to stop things that are recognizable, or if they're not recognizable, they're, I don't want to use the term generic, but they're just generically cool.
Yes.
Like I may not know something about Warhammer, 40K, but if I see one of the big dudes walking around in the armor and stuff, I'm going to be like, that looks kind of cool. And usually you can rely on them to take their own pose. But if you have a booth and you have a customer that wants to come up and take pictures, but you don't know who the character is, you got to look it up real quick, huh?
Pretty much. I've only had a few obscure people come up to a booth. I haven't had anybody too random. And typically my booths are pre-reserved, so I have a little bit of warning so I can look it up. Beforehand.
Oh, sure.
But the random floor shots when I'm roaming, I typically go for the named people that I know of first off.
Oh, okay.
Like if I know who, I know that character, and then I'll go for that looks cool. Who is that kind of thing? So I'll start with the ones I know, and then I'll start, and then I'll work my way through the ones I don't recognize, but I think look really cool.
Now, I do have one more question for you, Joshua, and that is, why do you bust?
Why do I bust? So, I can be cliche and say bust, it makes me feel good.
You can do that. We've had people give that answer, and it's a valid answer. However,
it's valid on several levels. Yeah, I like a good story.
You have a good story. You already told me this, so I need to know, why do you bust?
Because it lets me live my childhood. It lets me live that childhood fantasy I had of being a real Ghostbuster. I like the fun that I have. I like the experiences that I have. I like the people that I get to meet, kids, adults, other Ghostbusters. I mean, because I get to see all this time and investment that people put into being a Ghostbuster. Proton packs, especially. Oh my goodness. I mean, Shannon alone has.
Shannon is a mad scientist.
Shannon is the living embodiment of Holtzman.
Oh, 100%. There's
no question.
It is Jillian Holtzman walked off the camera screen. And now she's a member of Windy City Ghostbusters.
That's honestly, I mean, Shannon is the Holtzman. And
100%.
All of Shannon's stuff is just always top notch. Over the top, lights, gizmos, whiz bangs, whistles, everything. It's just, I wish I had that skill.
Joshua, I just want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come be a part of Why We Bust.
Yeah, my pleasure. Not a problem.
Before we let you go, let us get that plug one more time. And after the show, make sure you type it out to us in chat so I have it.
Okay.
And then that way there, I could throw it in the show notes. So people listening in podcast land, at the bottom of the show notes are going to be Joshua's Instagram link. Go follow him there. So what would that be? One more time.
So Instagram, my username on Instagram is morecroftphotog. So M-O-O-R-C-R-O-F-T-P-H-O-T-O-G is my Instagram. And from there, you'll find my Facebook and website and everything too. And just message me there if you want a patch. Or something. Oh, here's a new photon patch.
What is your next con C2E2?
Yes, that I will be doing lightsaber demonstrations.
That sounds fun.
Yep. So my theater background, they're like, hey, help us choreograph lightsaber fights for C2. Okay.
I mean, that's a really cool favor. You know, most of the favors I get are, you know, Bob, here, hold this. Or in Norm's case, Bob, please don't hold anything and step far away as I work on this project.
Yes, very much so.
That's an amazing thing. When I said, hey, do you have something interesting to talk about?
It just popped in my head when you asked about shows. It just popped
in there.
Norm, do you have any closing statements for Joshua here?
No, I mean... I don't really have anything.
Norm is speechless. Uh-oh.
I am speechless. I'm in awe.
No, he says thank you in his own way.
Well, actually, I do help Norm because I'm on SOCOM now, so I get to help
Norm. Yeah, he does help me.
Yeah, remember that time when I was like, hey, do you have something interesting you want to talk about? You could have. I was leaning towards, hey,
I'm sorry. My brain is so full of information. I apologize.
I'm just picking on you, Joshua. Folks, thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Why We Bust. We will see you again next week with a new Ghostbuster. And we'll see you then. Remember to hop on over to my Twitch channel after this. Have a good night, everybody. And this is Bob signing out saying... You can end the stream at any point. Thank you for listening to another episode of Why We Bust. See you guys next time when we look at another Ghostbuster and find out what makes them tick.
Memoriam Development. Memoriam Development.